see everybody out this evening. Always wonderful that we have the opportunity to gather together, to worship, study with each other. And Nathan says everybody needs to move forward so they can read all the stuff in the clock because it's hard to read in the car rack, so he's going to be the first one to move up. No, it's good to see everybody out. You see, I got a clock sermon out. Thought about doing it this morning, then just decided to do less than I did this morning, do this one this evening. But I believe they both kind of go well together. And talking about our Lord and Savior, the title is My Wonderful Lord. And one thing about trying to use someone else's sermon is trying to understand where they were going with some of this stuff. And so sometimes it's difficult. People have a different mindset. Some of the verses I didn't reuse because I did not know where the verse went with, but it might be like me where you accidentally put the wrong verse up there. It doesn't go along, so. So there is that, and then adding some stuff to it as I feel that I could assist in the lesson as I've looked at it and studied it myself. And so we're going to be talking about my wonderful Lord, and it's got the 4 points up here, starting with his name, his claim, in person, and in duration. So hopefully you'll follow along as we go through the lesson this evening. And first point is in his name, in the name that our Lord has. And so if you will, open your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah 9 and in verse 6. Here it says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And so it brings out there's going to be a child born, and here's the names that in which titles that he is going to be able to bear. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. And so as we look at that again, just the who our Lord and Savior is, the names in which he is able to wear, in which we are to go forth and claim about our Lord and Savior, that he is a wonderful counselor, that he is one that we can turn to and speak to about our feelings and about what's going on in our lives, and to study his word to counsel us, and that he is our mighty God, that he is the creator of all things, and that he is certainly the Prince of Peace. And we look at all these things and point out how great our Lord and Savior is just by the names. And now I know if you do come up and look at this chart later on, it has Ephesians 3, I think is what that's supposed to be, 16, 17. I could not figure out the name that was going forth out of that, so I did leave that one out. If you figure out what he was going for, you can let me know. If there's something near that, let me know later on. So we're going to go ahead and go to Acts chapter 4, though. In Acts chapter 4, in verse 11, Acts chapter 4, and in verse 11 and 12, Acts 4 and verses 11 and 12, it says, "This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you builders, which has become the cornerstone, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." So here, as we think about our wonderful Lord, bringing out his name that we are saved by, we are saved in the name of the Lord Savior. Matthew 28, again, as we go there and look at verses 18, 19, and 20, "Go make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And among humankind, there is no other name in which we can be saved, just our Lord and Savior, our God. It is only through him. We cannot build upon any other name. No other foundation can we build upon and be saved. In Philippians chapter 2, and look with me in verse 9 and 11. Philippians 2 and verses 9 through 11. It says, "Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Every tongue is going to confess that. Again, to sit here and say everybody has said someone's name, or everybody knows who this person is. And here it says, in the end, everybody will confess Jesus. That is, he's been given name above all names. There is no greater name. So he is wonderful simply in name. We know certainly we are not to take his name in vain, as we can study in Exodus and the Ten Commandments. And that certainly implies that as we enter into this new covenant, that we are to have reverence for our Lord and Savior, to keep his name holy and continue to be faithful to him. Next point in My Wonderful Lord is in his claims, looking to some of the points as Jesus lived his life here and what he is as he goes forth and makes those claims. But it's more than just a claim, because it is true. These things are so. And so looking at John chapter 10 and in verse 9, John chapter 10 and looking at verse 9, it says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find a pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came and that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And so here he gives the example as a shepherd and his sheep leading them, and how a thief and others can try to call the sheep and they don't know his voice, and the good shepherd's going to lead them the right way to the door that they need to go out, and to the right pasture. Here, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. He's the one that we should be able to hear. When one gets up and they start proclaiming to have salvation, that you need to listen to them. It's not that I'm here that I'm the good shepherd, but the message that I have, if it is true, it's what Christians should hear. It is something that they pick up on and say, yes, that's right. Yes, that's true. Yes, I see that in the Word of God. But when someone else preaches the wrong, and they preach false doctrine, they preach an error, again, sheep of the wolf know the shepherd's voice. They know the shepherd's teaching. They know right from wrong, and they start to pick up, that don't sound right. Where's the book, chapter, and verse that goes along with what they're saying? That contradicts this verse over here. And so you're able to know right from wrong. You know whether or not it is the good shepherd's teaching or if it's false teaching. Again, that means we must study to know right from wrong, be diligent in our studies and learning the truth. Jesus is the way in John chapter 14 and in verse 6. John 14 verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Just as we pointed out, there's no other name under earth in which people can be saved. Jesus is the way. He is life. He is truth. Again, no one comes to the Father except through him. He is. He is the way. We must go to him in order to be saved. In Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, again, a couple claims that as we look here and what he had brought out. Of course, the first one is that all authority has been given to him here in verse 18. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of age. And I decided to put that up there because I like the theme that's going on. If I am the door, I am the good shepherd, I am the way. Then as you look into John chapter 8, verse 58, as Jesus makes the claim that I am before Moses was I am. Going back to, of course, when Moses spoke to the burning bush, and he says, who do I say has sent me? He says, I am that I am. And Jesus is making that claim in John 8:8. I am. He was there in the beginning. He created all things. He was there for Moses. He was there during all of that. So Jesus' claim that he is, and again, it's more than just that, because he is true. So many have since then and before then and today tried to make great claims about being great people, about receiving a new revelation, about being someone special. But Jesus truly is. There's evidence to back it up. The scriptures that back it up. He is the way in which we must. The next point that they have up there is in person And I struggled understanding maybe what point he was trying to make when he put in person. And so my mindset as I looked at the verses that he had up there is that he was more than just a person. Is that Jesus was more than just any human being upon this earth. Yes, as we could do a study and bring out that Jesus was human, that he was born of a woman, and that he grew up as a child, and that he did bleed, and that he did weep, and he lived a full life, and he did die, just like every human on this earth. But Jesus was also more than just a person. So he's wonderful in person. In John chapter 7, verse 46. John chapter 7, if you will, and looking at verse 46, it says, "The officers answered, 'No one ever spoke like this man.'" Here, as it speaks about the knowledge and the understanding that our Lord and Savior had, must have looked at a different verse when I wrote down this, because I put 1 Peter 1:19 after that, going along with our Lord and Savior being without blemish and living that perfect life. But that goes along with who our Lord and Savior is. And 1 Peter 1, verse 19, still goes along with this point, I believe, in speaking of Jesus being more than a man, his knowledge he had, wiser than even Solomon. But 1 Peter 1 and in verse 19, if you turn along with me there, 1 Peter 1 and verse 19 says, "But with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb, without blemish or spot." Again, as we think about our Lord and Savior, talk about it this morning, how he went forth and he was beaten, how he was scourged, and how he was nailed on the cross, and yet he did not rely on return. He did not threaten in return. He did not lash out. He was faithful to all things. And Jesus, just who our Lord and Savior is. He is wonderful in the life that he lived, in the knowledge that he had, and the ability to overcome the temptations of this world. In John 1, again, John 1 and in verse 1, we continuously, I believe I've made the point time and again, Jesus being there in the beginning, and here it brings that out. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, not anything made that was made. And so in Him was life, and the life was the light of men." This is who our Lord and Savior is. In verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have His glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Our Lord and Savior. That He is God with us. As we think about again His name, another name you could have put up there in name. God with us, man. He came down from heaven and dwelt among us. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 14, going along with the point we made earlier of Jesus' claim to "I am," in 1 Corinthians 10, in verse 1, it says, "For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate of the same spiritual food, and all drank of the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock and that followed them, and the rock was water." Again, Christ is Moses. Christ was with the children of Israel. Christ helped guide them. He is the one that allowed them to have water when there was no water around. And again, today, for us today, in John 6:35, He makes the claim to what? To being the bread of life. And at with the woman at the well in John 4 and 14, that He brought out, "If you drink the water that I give, you'll never thirst again." What? This is the water of life. Why don't we go to Matthew and go to the Beatitudes? Blessed are those who hunger and because Jesus is life. Jesus is the way in which we become. That He is going to bless us with the knowledge and understanding for our spiritual life that we need to have. That we need to be eating and drinking every day so that we can spiritually live every day. The final point that they had up there is in preaching. And our Lord and Savior being there always. In Hebrews chapter 13. In verse 8, Hebrews 13, and in verse 8, it says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and went ahead and added Revelation 1, verse 8, as it brings out, he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, who is, who was, who is. Our Lord and Savior in his glory. Again, there's so many more points that you took the time to add to this lesson of my wonderful Lord and what is wonderful. And you can go forward than that, how wonderful he is in love, how wonderful he was in forgiveness, how wonderful he is in kindness, how wonderful he was as a teacher. There's so many things that you take the time and think about our Lord and Savior. How wonderful he truly is. That he is here still today, allowing us another opportunity to be within our hearts, shining forth through us, helping us to get to heaven to spend eternity. So I don't want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation this evening, as we talked about his name, his claim, being his person, and in your oration. You're here, you want to be part of our Lord and Savior's kingdom, be part of his bride. We extend that invitation that he's made to you. Come to him, lean on him, that he will give you rest. He will wash your sins away. If you're here and you need to be baptized, or if you need to praise congregation, you allow us to know.
Somebody else bend at the bar on high.